Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes. Hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my time's not half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen. If I keep on walking up, yeah, I know it when I see it walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes on.
Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
Thy words the light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking towards the promise. Walking towards better land.
Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking. When I see it walking up.
Brother, y'all, would you mind opening up with prayer, my brother?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for choosing us, walking.
Amen.
Thank you for choosing us here.
Amen.
Thank you. Father, we ask Amen.
You have to read to open them. Bow them. Each of them want to keep the word. Have these things in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shiva, family. Excuse me. I was in a little thing here. Let me get some water. Shalom, family. How's everybody this morning?
Much better, much better.
Hallelujah, better is good. Better is good. Let me make sure I'm not on mute, right? And welcome once again to Kol Elohim on Blog Talk Radio with Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the Study Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and I am your brother, Ahab Al, with Beth Yahweh Congregation. And this is the sixth installment and last installment of this particular lesson, in which we are talking about the conspiracy against your salvation. And, you know, it's a bittersweet moment because, you know, reflecting on, you know, everything that, you know, led up to this session and the wonderful things that, you know, Abba was merciful enough to share with me about his will and about, you know, his word. And it feels so good sometimes. You don't want it to end. You know, right. You want to continue on. You know, you have to allow Abba sometimes to use someone else. And also, you got to sit down, too, and let the words that, and this good feeling that Abba shared with you, with the things that he shared with you, let it sit for a while, and, you know, and let him have a moment now to take a break sometimes from you. Not that he doesn't continue to bless you and show you things, but, you know, the scriptures talk about being things being given out in measure, you know, and even sometimes when you think about, you know, medication and things that are sent to heal you and feel, that make you feel well, you know, if you do it all the time, it starts to lose its effect after a while. You know, there are times like they talk about antibiotics, you know, that people always want to get antibiotics, give me antibiotics. But they say there are negative effects to always being prescribed those antibiotics for things when there should be alternate treatments for certain things that ail us. You know, same thing with, you know, with Yahweh and his word. You know, the scriptures even say much study is weariness to the flesh. So there are times when you need a break from that. You know, even though it feels good, you know, if it feels good every day, you know, then it won't feel as special those times when it departs for a little while. And it's for a reason. You know, it's like the waves of the ocean. You know, they come and they go. There's that ebb and that flow. And that's the same thing I'm starting to understand about the Spirit of Yahweh. There's that ebb and there's that flow where he washes over you. And it's like a nice, you know, y'all been to the ocean when that nice wave comes through and you sitting there and you feel that water that splash all on you and it makes you feel all good. And then it got to go away for a little bit. Man. But know that it's going to come right back because that's the way nature made it to be. And same thing with the Spirit of Yahweh, you know. And that's why, you know, even water is a symbolism for that Spirit, you know, because there's times it just washes over you. Sometimes, you know, them waves don't look like they're coming in strong, but one might come in strong, and hit you, and you just feel like, woo, that was a nice wave. And then there are times, sometimes it just gently comes across your feet. But the waves are always, you know, Maki, the waves always exist. You know, and as I'm ending, you know, one of the things, you know, I'm thinking about is, you know, the season that we are heading into, you know, it's pre-Pesach season, you know, not far from now, you know, it's time to start, you know, making those preparations, you know, for the kickoff of the holy feast of Yahweh. I don't want to say kickoff and making it seem, you know, mundane, but, you know, it's a time we look forward to the coming in of the holy season of Yahweh because that's what we're here for, you know, to emulate Yahweh, to spend time with him, not just on Shabbat, but once we get into that season, to spend a whole bunch of days with them and enjoy that goodness. And I always look for, you know, for that particular year when the new year comes in, what is Yahweh's keynote? What is his key message to us, you know, for the year? So, you know, I always look forward to that. You know, and every once in a while I like to think about, you know, I take time to read through the story of, you know, the death of my Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, as my brother said in his prayer, our Lord and Savior, but my Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, and, you know, that time up to, you know, all the events that took place up to, you know, him giving up his life, you know, for us. And even though, you know, the end result is filled with joy, you know, always reading the account of how he suffered and what he went through on my behalf, on all the world's behalf, you know, even those who don't care about him, don't love him, you know, hate him, he gave himself as a free gift to humanity that anybody who, you know, will turn away and accept him, you know, we will have that joy with him. But as we learned from our old teacher, he didn't promise us a rose garden, you know, all the time. You know, ain't going to be happy times. You know, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be trials and there are going to be tribulations. There are going to be times when, you know, just talking this morning that we may desire something. He might say, lay a top. Why ain't no low? Wait on that, you know. Chill on that, you know. And we have no choice but to wait and hope that our prayers and our supplications, you know, reaches his ear. And he says, granted. You know, and sometimes he might say, well, maybe not just yet, or maybe a little later, or maybe, you know, no. But, you know, one of the parables was about, I think we talked about it last week, about that woman, that old woman who went before, he said, the judge who feared neither God nor man. But because she continually went to him and went to him and went to him and went to him, eventually, you know, he said, you know, granted, you know, look, there are times when, persistence. I remember they used to teach us that in sports. Persistence, especially football. Persistence overcomes resistance. You know, just because the game plan didn't work, this one particular play don't work, don't mean that we scrapped the whole playbook. That means maybe we got to make a little adjustment. Maybe instead of running this play later in the game, we run this play earlier in the game, or vice versa, you know. But anyway, I have to get a football analogy in there somewhere, family. But yes, reflecting on that. And, you know, in reading the account, and I'm going to read from the account in Luke about, you know, the circumstances surrounding, you know, our Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, giving his life up for us, I came across something that I felt to be very interesting in regards to the conspiracy against our salvation. Because the conspiracy against our salvation is the conspiracy against him and the conspiracy against Yahweh. But I'm going to start off reading a psalm, family. And when I read this psalm this time, I had to really say, wow, Abba, wow. You know, you go through things and then something, and you know, and like, you know, you turn it and turn it again, and then eventually Abba, you know what I mean? Like, I play this game where, you know, in the distance you might see a little something that says there's a treasure there. So you got to make it over there to the treasure. And once you get over there to the treasure, sometimes there might be things in your way. You got to dig through the earth in one spot, maybe dig through the earth in another spot, and eventually you find the treasure. And the guy goes, he's happy he found that treasure. And I tell you, same thing with the Word of God. I was watching Indiana Jones this week, the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And they know there's power in that word, because that was that movie was about. They wanted that lost out because they knew that there was, that the power of Yahweh is mighty. The power of the Hebrew gods was mighty. And they felt like if we could possess an instrument, even though they had the word, Indiana Jones said, I don't believe in hocus pocus and all that type of stuff, but he did believe in the power of that particular item, and he knew based on biblical history and what the word said that if the Nazis got in possession of it, it could make them unstoppable. Totally fictitious, because we know based on the scriptures, a nation did come in possession of it, and it turned out to be a curse to them, right or wrong, even to the point it made their God lose their head, I think, was So, yeah, you might be able to possess, you might be able to hold on to it, but trust me, you ain't going to possess the power of God unless you are one of those that is entrusted with the ability to possess some of that power. So, anyway, Psalms 2:1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against Yahweh and against his anointed. So what we learn from that is they are taking counsel against their creator. They are trying to set themselves up in a way so that they could destroy their creator, that they could upset his will, that they could somehow distort his plan. Think about that for a second, because that's the question. Why y'all raging? What y'all upset about? What is all of this about? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That means they've come together and they are finding ways to fight against Yahweh. When you think about it, and I just saw your face do that. Did you look at the word counsel? What word did you just look at that made you do that?
I was looking at the word anointed.
Okay, Mashiach. So we see there, that they're taking counsel against Yahweh and those who are his anointed. Yes, his anointed, but also his anointed. You see what I'm saying? Because if he was one with the Father and said, he and my Father one, and he's bringing us into that oneness with the Father, and we are in turn anointed, they are taking counsel against us, right? The beast system, as my brother's been talking about, which the whole part of the beast system is to upset Yahweh's order throughout all the world, but in particular, Israel. But we see they ain't just fighting against the principalities and powers of God. They want to fight against Yahweh himself. Okay? And he says, this is very important here. This is one of the important psalms in the scriptures. He said, because he's given us their gameplay, he says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And when you get an opportunity to go back and look into that scripture in particular, because they completely want to disassociate and detach themselves, let alone everybody else, from Yahweh. So not only are the kings of the earth taking counsel against Yahweh, they know. And we know by way of the scriptures, all these nations know and understand. They say, we know about Yahweh. Do they or do they not? Time and time in the scripture, we read, the nations know about Yahweh. He is not a stranger to them. He is not unknown to them, but they don't believe in Yahweh. You see what I'm saying? They don't worship Yahweh. I should put it as that. They don't worship Yahweh. They believe in Yahweh, but believing in a deity and worshiping a deity, they're two entirely different things.
Amen.
Allowing yourself to submit to his law and his order are two entirely different things. Just because you believe, oh yeah, Yahweh is a God, Yahweh exists, you know, there are pagan worshipers who will say that, but then they'll try to lump him in as though he is just part of a pantheon of gods that exists. You see what I'm saying? He's just that particular God that the ancient Hebrews knew about and worshiped. You know what I'm saying? That's their mindset. So it says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Yahweh and his anointed, they want to break their bands asunder and break. They want to break up Yahweh and his anointed. Do we see what it's saying right there? They want to break that up first. Separate Yahweh from his anointed, God the Father, or God from his Son.
Amen.
That's what they want to do. They want to break up that unity that exists between the two of them. So now you see when we have two separate, distinct religions in the world, one that says, well, we are the God of the Old Testament, and one that says, well, there is a God in the New Testament. What are they doing to the minds of the people? You see, this is what it's talking about right here. He that sitteth in the heavens, 2:4, shall laugh. Yahweh going to sit back, and he going to have himself a belly, an L-O-L, L-A-M-B, all of those acts. Yeah, the crying face to the side, the one, all of that. That's what Yahweh is saying to the world now, because Yahweh shall have them in derision. Think about what that term derision means. confusion. So you think about it. They want to have Yahweh, and they want to have his anointed in confusion. Or at least if they can't have those two in confusion, they want the world in confusion about them. You see that? See that's what they're saying? Then shall he speak unto them, 2:5, in his wrath. See, now he's going to stop laughing. Huh? After he get that big belly laugh, and he, because he's like, you know what? Y'all crazy. Now he's going to say, now that I done got that out the way, now I'm going to show y'all what the business is. 2:5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. After the laughing is done, now it's time to deal with the business. Okay, yet have I set up my king upon my holy hill of Zion. We're going to read this today. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. You see what I'm saying? Yisrael. I can tell you this, Pastor Tom and his minions have done a great work because, and it's by the will of Yahweh, only certain people are going to see this for what it truly is. And he ain't talking about Yisrael. He could have said, my son, Yisrael. He could have said, my son, the Hebrews. He could have said, my people, the Hebrew Israelites. No, he said specifically, thou art my son, thou. And when you take out art, because that was added, thou, my son, this day have I begotten thee. Who is he talking about? You see what I'm saying? Who is he talking about, Hebrews? Who is he talking about, Israelites? And he says, Psalms 2:8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. What does the scriptures talk about when the Mashiach come? What he going to do? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. So now he's talking to his son. Now he's coming back to the king. He said, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear, with reverence, yirah, and rejoice with trembling. But this is the part I love right here. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little bit. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. But you know, let's look at this word, kiss, for a second. Because, you know, in our minds, we just look at, you know, kiss. Let's kiss the son. And it's pretty funny that he was betrayed with kiss. And why he even said, you know, Judas, Yehuda, you betrayed the son of man with a kiss? Because, see, these songs back then, they knew and they understood what these boys meant. They knew what these scriptures meant from just a Hebraic point of view, let alone the will of Yahweh point of view. But they knew this. But let's look at this term for kiss, because I thought it was very important. Okay? So now I'm going to read it from just a straight up Strong's and BDB. It's 5401, which is Nashak. It says a primitive root from Hebrews 5400 through the idea of fastening up. Compare Hebrews 2388 and 2836 to kiss literally or figuratively touch, also as a mode of attachment. But this is the part that really blew my mind here. It says, to equip with weapons, arm, rule, kiss that touch. So you mean not just kiss the son, lest he be angry, but armor up with him. Put him on as your armor. Protect the son. You see what I'm saying? Do y'all see that too out there? You weaponize yourself with the sun, and you also weaponize yourself around the sun. So you don't just kiss him like, I give you a kiss. Nah, you want him to know that you're protecting him, and he wants you to know that by doing that, he's going to protect you. You see what I'm saying? It's like an embrace. But let's look at what the Hebrew, in the ancient Hebrew, it talks about. Okay? It's a nun, the shen, and the kaf, a touching in love with the lips, or in battle with weapons. Hmm? So it's double-edged right there. It's a dual meaning right there. Again, to touch with the lips or weapon. Hmm? Weapon used in battle in the sense of touching the enemy. Hmm. Armor, weapon, battle, arm, harness, armory. Hmm. To put together, I'm reading from the BDB. To put together, kiss, to kiss, to kiss, to touch gently, to handle, be equipped with, huh? To handle and be equipped with the son, lest he be angry. Or equip the son, lest he be angry. Hmm? Think about that for a second. But we're going to get back to that because we're going to see what this world has done and the pleasure that they took in thinking that they hurt God. So we're going to go to Luke 23, fam. Lord, bear with me now. We're going to read this account. Yes, sir. Luke, sir, the 23rd chapter, fam. Lucas, like. And the more I read through Lucas, I realize Lucas really saw some things. Lucas really recognized some things. You know, Yahweh really blessed Lucas, and Lucas really focused on a certain aspect of Mashiach that really seemed to touch in him. And he was a God lover. You see what I'm saying? He was a God lover, and not so much so that he went. We're going to read two books that Lucas wrote, his book, and we're going to read in the book of Acts. Because he talks to the God lovers. He wants the God lovers to know and understand certain things that took place. You know, he wants this to be a source of attachment for us. All right. 23:1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And I want to go into all of the events that took place up to this point and, you know, him being accused and all this stuff. But I want to focus on this particular part right here, you know, towards the end, because it speaks to something. I'm hopefully by Willie Yahweh that he'll show it, okay? And it's something that my rabbi, when we talked about last week, that really showed me something that, you know, when they said, let me read it. Let me get back to it. Luke 23:2. Okay, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Moshiach and a king." You hear what they're accusing him of? Look at it from this base value. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. You know what that means when you read it in there? They trying to get Yahushua on tax evasion. But did he or did he not say early in his word when they said to him, "Well, should we pay taxes?" And he said, "Well, let me see that coin. Who's face on that?" Caesar. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar. That's Caesar money. But render unto Yahweh what's Yahweh. So they pulling up some trumped up charges on him. Because when you look at them saying he forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, they're telling him that he is an enemy of the state. Hmm? Y'all see that? Enemy of the state. If you've seen that movie with Will Smith, when they consider you an enemy of the state, they hold nothing back in trying to destroy you. Right or wrong, I just watched it the other day, seeing how good that movie was back in its day. It was a real fire. But it's talking about now what's going to happen when they, you know where they get it from? Right here. Hmm? And they began, 23:2, to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Moshiach, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Yahudis?" And he answered them and said, "That's what you say. Thou sayest. That's what you say." Now, you know what? Even in the midst of this, he's so, as it turns, so gangster. He wasn't worried about being in no chains and y'all beating him and flogging him. He was happy. He brought himself over to that willingly. Hmm. Luke 23:4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." So even though y'all trying to bring him up with accusations as an enemy of the state and he ain't paying no tribute to Caesar, he was like, "Man, I ain't going to get him on that. That's the best y'all got on him? For real? They got all kind of people trying to evade the taxes. I'm trying not to pay taxes. That's the best y'all got on him. Huh? I don't find no fault in this man." 23:5. And they were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry finally to this place. So this popularity and this renown was starting to get to them at this point. And they're getting upset over the fact, we're going to see, getting upset over the fact that they're starting to lose power. My brother was teaching last night, and I love it that me and him ain't been talking.
Hallelujah.
Not because we're upset with one another, but see, he doing his teaching, I'm doing my teaching, we ain't been talking. He talking to Abba, I'm talking to Abba, but Abba talking to both of us. And it was something that was brought up last night. I had to say, wow, Abba, you is talking.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? And we're going to read through it. That's how the Spirit of Yahweh works. Hmm? So, 23:6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Why are they all in Jerusalem? The feast is coming up, right? The feast is coming up. So everybody's making their way to the home hub. 23:8. And when Herod, and you know what the name Herod means? It means hero. And when Herod saw Yahushua, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. Now, understand, there's two Herods. There's Herod the dad, which they call Herod the Great. And this is Herod, which they call Antipas. I don't remember exactly what Antipas means, but this was this was basically his son, okay? So this wasn't the Herod from when he was a baby trying to kill him. But you see, he was still in the same line as his dad. And when Herod saw Yahushua, 23:8, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. What did Yahushua say about the miracles? Nation seeking after him, an evil and adulterous nation seeketh after a sign. 23:9. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Yahushua said, I ain't answering you nothing. I ain't got to tell you nothing. Whatever question you ask me, tight lip. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Who stood? The chief priests and the scribes and vehemently accused him. 23:11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod, this is the part that really stood out to me. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Before they were an enemy between themselves. So you mean to tell me that the punishment of Yahushua now has brought Rome and the bought Israel together? You mean to tell me that the punishment of Yahushua has now brought crooked Rome and paid for Israel together? Fast forward that a couple thousand years and let that marinate within yourself.
Love.
That Rome and Israel stand together. And Pilate, 23:13, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. He's like, he's bewildered at this. He said, y'all bringing this man to me like he out there doing crime. I already told y'all, I got nothing to charge this man with. All these charges y'all bringing up. Now I ain't going to equate this dude with him because he's guilty. This ain't no fake news. You know what I'm saying? And he said, 23:13, Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, he's bringing them back together. He's like, can I get y'all getting here? Said unto them, he brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. He's not guilty. He's not guilty. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. So now we see what they want. They want him to die. They want him to die. These are the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests and the scribes. Okay. So it says, 23:15, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity, he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, 23:18, away with this man, and release unto us for Abba. And look at his term, his name, when you get a chance. 23:19. And this is the part that really just like blew my mind after reading this again. Who for a certain sedition, this man, you know what sedition is? What is sedition? When you go against the state. Barabbas, who for a certain sedition, Barabbas is an enemy of the state. This is where it first starts. The very same thing they're accusing Yahushua of doing. By not paying taxes, tax evasion, tax fraud, causing trouble in Rome, they're saying, hold up, the one we want released is guilty of these charges. For a certain sedition made in the city. And for murder. This is who they want released. A murderer and a rebel rouser. That's who they want released. This is what our forefathers want released. He's doing time for this. 23:19. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. He a murderer. He's a problem causer. Pilate therefore willing to release Yahushua spake again to them. Yo, y'all want me to release this dude? This dude ain't guilty. Yahushua. Your salvation is not guilty, but the sons of Abba, they're guilty of rebel rouse and sedition. That's who y'all want released? But they cried, saying, crucify! Crucify him! Torture this one. Torture Yahushua. This is what the people are crying now. These are the chief priests, the scribes, and all the people who follow them are saying, torture Yahushua. Torture the salvation of Yah. So we don't need Bilderbergers. We don't need the Rosicrucians. We don't need the Merovingians. No, we got ourselves to blame for all of this trouble that we have brought upon ourselves. What did the scripture say in Psalms? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Be careful. Be careful, because these are the rulers. These are the ones. These are the ones pushing the case. They talking about the chief scribes. The chief. What do they say? Who's pushing this? The scribes and the chief priests, the main rulers of the order of that time. They didn't have any political power, but they had sway over the masses of the people. They owned the people's minds. But they cried. 23:21. Crucify! Crucify! And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. 23:23. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Look, he had the power within himself to say no, but he gave in. So he's still guilty. 23:25. And he released him. He released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Yahushua to their will. Think about it, man. Let that marinate for a second. Let a murderer and let a seditioner go, but kill the one who's done nothing. That's guilty of anything. They can't find what you're... Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They can't find anything to charge him with, neither side. They brought him to Herod. They brought him to the political rulers of the Jews at that time. They brought him to the political rulers of Rome who had the ultimate power of that time, and neither one of them could find anything. But those who were in charge of the order of faith, who at one point Yahushua even said, look, They sit in Moses' feet. All that they bid you, do. Do what they're asking you to do. So they can't even charge him with that. So he ain't causing no problem. They could have even had charged him with, well, he came to the temple one time and beat everybody up. They couldn't charge him with that because they knew he was right when he did that.
Amen.
They knew he was right when he did that because they was wrong.
Amen.
He said, this ain't supposed to be a place where y'all, this ain't Lexington Market. This is where people come to worship me. People come to have a relationship with me.
That's right.
But y'all turned this into, and then on top of that, y'all got y'all scales out of balance.
Right.
Intentionally, y'all cheating people. Mm-hmm. Get this out my father's house. You see what I'm saying? So they couldn't charge him with that because that would expose their guilt. Hmm? 23:25. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Yahushua to their will. Excuse me. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon Shimon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on them they laid the mistake that they bear, that they might bear after Yahushua. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Yahushua, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. What situation are our people in now? Help us. People are crying out in Baltimore City because of these crimes, ain't they? Now the people are like, we need help. We need help. For they do these things in a great way. They shall, 23:30. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For they do these things in a green tree. What shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, where they crucified him, and the malefactors, the bad people, that's what malefactors are, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And this part I think is very, it's just, this is very telling of two people who will, the two types of people that are on both, on either side of Mashiach. Then Yahushua said, 24, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Mashiach, the chosen of the mighty one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Yahudi, save yourself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Yahudi. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if you the Mashiach, save thyself and us. Yo, get us out this situation. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear Yah? See, he understood that sign right outside there on 95. You will die, and then you will meet God. He knew his goose was cooked. His time is coming. He realized he was wrong. And at that point, he repented. Do not thou fear Yah, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due word of our deeds. But this man has nothing amiss. So he understood. He found Yahushua from the prison walls that he was in, from death row. We have two people on death row. One person on death row recognized, hey, man, this man can provide a way out. He ain't guilty. He the son of God. He recognized that. The yeah. other man scorned him mm-hmm. and didn't believe in his father. Those are two type of people who believe in, you either on one side of Mashiach or you on the other side of Mashiach. Kiss the son, lest he be angry.
Come on.
See what I'm saying? And he said, Luke 23:41, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Yahushua, Lord, Adonai, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man believed in the kingdom. And Yahushua said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to read any more about it. No, I am. Let me see. this one doesn't have it in there. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to leave it right there. So now, let me read it. 23:44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Yahushua cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified Yah. See, and he said, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. All right, so we see that there are going to be people, you know, in scriptures that are not of this fold that are going to recognize the fact that Yahushua is the Moshiach. And look at this and see the righteous deeds that have been left behind for us to see the life that he lived. And there are going to be people that are not of the circumcision that are going to believe and accept that he is the Son of God. But now let's go to Matthew 7th chapter, family. All right. Matthew 7th chapter. And he says, in 7:12, we're going to start in 12, family. And he said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the Torah and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? We should know that. Grapes don't grow grapevine don't grow with thorns coming out of it, and thistles are the same thing as thorns. I think they're like little needle-like. And figs, you know, grow on trees. Zacchaeus went to a place where they had figs on trees and brought us some fresh figs. Did he or did he not? 7:17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, he shall know them. So one of the things that, and to interject that was, because oftentimes, and, you know, and this has been on my heart the entire time, you know, especially with certain events that took place at Sukkot, you know, what is our fruit here in this congregation? And I'm saying that to the people that are listening, and to the people that may listen later that know this congregation, to the people that may lay charges at our feet from time to time. What is our fruit? Do we sow fruit of deception? Do we come up here to intentionally? Does anyone of the teachers come up here with the intent to deceive, with the intent to mislead? And I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just putting it out there in the airwaves for people to really sincerely understand. If something is given to you or presented to you by whomever outside of this congregation, and it is something different than what we may teach based on the word, why not come to us with a spirit of humility and with the spirit of concern for us? Because our concern is for the flock. Our concern is for the family of Yahweh. We don't want to come up here and mislead nobody. I want to be that man who said, Father, Lord, I want to get into your kingdom. I'm not here for YouTube clicks. I'm not here for YouTube followers. That's why I don't want to be on none of that stuff. Me personally, I don't even care to be on Blog Talk because I would hate for anybody to take what I say and try to use it and twist it for somebody else's damnation. But I do this because I enjoy this, and this is what we do to get what Abba has given us here at Beth Yahweh Congregation out to people. We ain't trying to be celebrities.
Right.
I don't want a bunch of followers. I'd rather have one person in my corner that sincerely believes in Yahweh and the truth about his word than to have a million clicks and get my money from YouTube and be deceiving masses, because guess what's going to happen? One day, I will die, and one day, I will meet my Creator.
Yes.
And if I have done anything, that is more important to me than anything else.
Yes.
That's the God's honest truth. As I stand up here before the people I love, that's the God's honest truth.
Okay.
I don't care about YouTube followers. I don't care about fancy videos and sitting up there with pretty clothes on. No. To the contrary, I know some of y'all look at me like, God, when you going to go shopping, brother? And that's with all sincerity. This is real. This ain't even real life. This is real death right here. Because at some point, real life is going to come into existence.
Man.
And when that real life comes into existence, I want to be alive.
Man.
I want the blood and the anointing of Yahushua HaMashiach to be what carries me over.
Hallelujah.
And not that I'm perfect, because my family here know my history. I'm far from perfect. Very flawed. Always got flaws. Will continue to have flaws, but I try to fight against my flaws. But family, nobody comes up here with the intent. And so what is the fruit? And let them sit and think about that for a second. What is the fruit of this congregation? What is the fruit of the leaders of this congregation? What is Abba using us to bring to the people, to bring to our family, to bring to our loved ones? Think about that. Matthew 23. We're going to skip down. We're going to skip through some of that. Matthew 7. Okay. Thank you, Aki. Well, I get a little lost sometimes. Thank you for helping me find my way back, brother. All right. 23:23. He says this. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And what does it mean to be a hypocrite? An actor. We in Golden Globe season. You know why? You know the part that, you know, I would put something on my mind today, because Bad Boys 3 is coming out. And they showed, I saw a clip, and it's all this bang, 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 bang. Shoot him up. Boom, boom, boom. Bow. And for a country that is so against violence, we sure do pay a lot to watch it. So when a kid goes into a school with a semi-automatic or automatic rifle and bang, 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 you know why they ain't going to get rid of guns? Because as long as movies like Terminator are box office hits, as long as Bad Boys is box office hits, they know violence sells. Violence sells so much and lying sells so much that they have a season. We in that season where you get your Golden Globe for lying in a row. And that is the pinnacle. We have the Screen Actors, the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild Award for writing a bunch of lies that people fall so in love with that they become, as my brother stated last night, I love my G Stanford too. And I love Martin. I watch Martin, a clip of Martin every day to make me ha-ha laugh, and I share some of the clips with my brothers with me, and I hope they got a ha-ha laugh out of it. But Martin Payne and that whole crew keep me tripping. I like Martin. He ain't real. Because the real Martin got issues in his life. He ain't no believer. And if you ever listen to some of Fred G. Sanford, the real person, to his comedy, you better be ready to clean your ears out afterwards.
Oh,
hmm? But we talk about these people, George Jefferson, George and Weezy, like they real people. And guess what? These scribes and these Pharisees, they were characters just like them.
Right.
They were lying. They were playing a role because they weren't sincere. They put on costumes. They put on robes. I hope y'all don't think that's what we do in here.
Come on.
Huh? Back to 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, actors! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, actors! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, actors! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Hmm? Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whatsoever ye swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Think about that. Hmm? I wanted to show y'all the other clip with Reverend Leon Lonnie Love when he calling down the people for affliction, and the man said, how long? And he said to the man, how long have you had that affliction? What the doctor say? How much they going to charge you for that affliction? $1,000? I could do it for $250. I could heal you for $250. That's what Reverend Leon Lonnie Love, that's me. They the same as Reverend. They got a bunch of rabbis and scribes, Leon Lonnie Love, back in the day. Hmm? Because they're more concerned about the physical things than the more important things, making sure people get into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's the whole, the scripture saying, let me look at it, where it says that your priests are supposed to be clothed. And so let me find that scripture. The priests of Yahweh are supposed to be clothed in salvation. What's, I think it said, is it in the Psalms, Rabbi? Are we, yeah, we do, don't we? Pray for me. Pray for me, y'all. Oh my goodness. Could I find it? It says that your priests are supposed to be hold on. Your priests are supposed to be clothed in salvation. Is it? Psalms 132. All right, let's see over here. Psalms 132, verse 9. Got it. 132, verse 9 and 16. Told I. Yes, he says. 132, verse 9. Arise, O Yahweh, I'm going to read 8. Arise, O Yahweh, into thy resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed in righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from of the fruit of thy body, I will set upon your throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. For Yahweh has chosen Zion; he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever among his children, Israel. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests in righteousness, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Hmm? that's what the men of Yahweh are supposed to emulate. That's what they're supposed to look, that you're supposed to look for them from. Hmm? But ask yourself, the person that you are following, ask yourself, do they care about that? Do they really care about your soul? Hmm? And I'm going to show you that they really don't care about your soul by way of the scriptures, by Yahweh's might, by Yahweh's strength, by Yahweh's permission. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you murder the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee. How often, and see, nowadays you don't just stone. You can't just go out on the street and just stone somebody. But how do you stone somebody? They say people in glass houses should never throw stones. What is that a pithy maxim for?
Right.
Hmm? be careful. You know, some of the words, my mother used to say this, words are wind, but blows are unkind. Sticks and stones may break my mold, but words, yes, words can hurt you. Words damage a man's reputation.
Good.
Words used by people allow Pilate to say, you know what? Y'all go ahead. I'm going to give y'all to them so y'all can kill them based on what they were saying. So just because you're not stoning somebody nowadays with a physical stone, when you start hurling stones about the reputation of the people and the teachers and Beth Yahweh congregation, whether it's one brother or another brother, I take that personally. Because I know my brother. Ain't none of my brothers coming up here with the intent to deceive. Because sure enough, Ahabel, you will see a different side of Ahabel. You will. But every one of my brothers that come up here with the sincerity. And when we do step out of character, you can tell. When we do step out of Yahweh's will, you can tell when the spirit shifts in the midst of the teaching. You can feel it. When you start to look at yourself and take your eyes off of this yod and this hay right here.
Amen.
Even though it's behind us, we still make sure we're keeping our eyes on it. So it hurts me when people bring up railing accusations against one of my brothers. That's not what we do, especially when you people who have sat here know if we're wrong about something, if any one of us is wrong about something, they never had a problem, and it came, especially our leader, Yaakov, never has a problem saying, you know what, I was wrong. He do it just like that. You know what, I was wrong. I've never seen a video with any one of them from I ain't even going to mention any of their names because to me their names are blasphemy. All of these Hebrew Israelites, this person and that person, your names are blasphemy because none of you will ever say, well, this is wrong. No, you won't come up with, like my brother was saying last night, we're going to see, man, the scholarship right here. You're going to, we ain't talk, but Abba will be done. Back to 2337, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that murdered the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. You see that? Why y'all fighting one another? Oh, what you going you gonna do to us what you did to that man you buried in the sand? See, that was Yahweh coming to them saying, I want to gather y'all together, but he had to leave now for another 40 years because of their response to what he was saying. Peace, shalom. Why y'all killing each other? Y'all in the same situation. Go out there into these streets now and tell some of these young men, put down your guns. And see what response you get. This generation ain't going to pass over because it's a wicked generation that's out there. And that's not just me saying it. We see the evidence of it. There's wickedness out there. A place I walk to every day, 12:30 in the day, I was shocked. They murdered a man in front of the arena. At 6 o'clock at night when I'm walking home, there's at least 30 people out there still waiting for the bus. I can't imagine what it's like at high noon lunchtime. With the subway there, with the pizza shop there, with McDonald's up there, with 7-Eleven right there, and the halal spot down there, all of this is going on, and somebody gets murdered.
Come on.
In broad daylight, that's the wickedness and lawlessness.
Amen.
Something got to give, but that's us. That's us. He said, two Hebrew strolls together, as my brother said last night, blood on blood, boom. Boom, 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 huh? Bloody knuckles going at it with one another, blood on blood. But then when Moshe came and said, stop it, don't do it. Oh, who is you? You see what I'm saying? 40 years now, the culture. Yahushua said it. Where did I leave off at? And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that murdered the prophets and stoned them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It ain't on him. I want you, but you won't. You ain't coming. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. So when you see this desolation, and Baltimore City is known for its what? Blight. You know what blight is? Desolation. For I, 2339, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Until you say, Baruch haba, Beshem Adonai. Hallelujah. Till you say that, until we, till these people start. So now think about the fact that now his name is polluted in the earth. Think about the fact that people don't know the true name of the Messiah. So how is he going to come back unless people start really, the true people start promoting him and his name? Not Yehovah, not Yahweh. No, you got to answer some questions about Hebrew semantics for me before you can convince me his name is something other than Yahweh. We got Yehuda right there. If it truly is the Vav, how do you say that name in Hebrew? And if it's supposed to be the Wow, you still got some answers. If it's supposed to, you're supposed to say a Wow. Scholarship, as my brother said last night, the scholarship. So, family, please still walk with me just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. We're going to Acts now. This is going to end it up. We're going to conclude in Acts, the fourth chapter, family. And bear with me. Got a couple. Want to read this scenario because we're going to see, case in point, what the fight is right now. See, they want to put Abba and his son at variance. They want us to. They want this thing to be separated. You either got to believe in the Old Testament, or you got to believe in the New Testament. You can't believe in both. But see, this is the raging of the heathen, and this is them trying to divorce us from that fiery law. You see what I'm saying? From that fiery decree, from that marital contract, which, truth be told, and don't take this the wrong way, the father and his son, they had a marital contract, not an intimate contract, like a physical, but they had a marriage is none other than an agreement that we are going to be unified with one another, not in a perverted way, not in that perverted way, but it's that union, that agreement that is made between them that they want to break apart. You see what I'm saying? That's why Daniel is saying they think that they could change times and laws. They think, but not for the ones who Yahweh has blessed to know his will and his will. You are not knowing the scriptures, nor the will of Yah. Okay? Acts 4:1. And it's so funny because my brother talked a little bit about this last night. Now we on that. Acts 4:1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest, here we go with the priest again, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, no, Peter and some of the apostles, they're out there, they're doing good works. I believe in the chapter before, they just did a healing. That's the scripture where it says, you know, I think the silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, get up and walk, okay? So now they starting to do some miracles, right? 4:1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yahushua, the resurrection from the dead. This is grieving to them. But hold up. Back in 1990-something, y'all was carrying pages waiting for the Moshiach to let you know he came back. The people who claim to be on that side that many of us now coming in as Hebrews want to emulate and say that, wait a minute now, there's the old and there's the new, and the new has no part of the old, and there's no way that the new can be associated with anything within the Old Testament. But y'all was waiting for somebody to resurrect about 20-some-odd years ago, I believe, man. He probably bones in there at this point, and I'm not trying to be funny, you know, but he bones in there at this point, right? He bones in there at this point. He ain't coming back. Not until the one who is in charge of the resurrection comes back. See what I'm saying? But this is grieving to them, being grieved for too, that they taught the people and preached through Yahushua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for there was now eventide. This is Luke, remember that. This is Luke writing this stuff. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were as the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. This got all of them out. This started getting their attention now. Everybody coming out. People we ain't even heard of in the Gospels is coming out now. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? You can't make this up. And then Peter, Kepha, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent men, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yahushua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom Yah raised from the dead, and even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So he's even through this healing, he's saying, we didn't heal him. We ain't responsible for the healing. We just the vessel. The mighty one who we follow, he did the actual healing. And they understood this scripture. Acts 4:11. This is the stone which ye set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. The stone that y'all refused have now become the chief cornerstone. You can't lay no building down until you start with that marker. See what I'm saying? That's right. The place. When you understand how building works, they start in one particular area at a particular angle, and they lay one particular stone down, and they start from there. That's how the masonry people had to do it back in the day when they used to lay bricks and all that sort of stuff. And he said, y'all refuse that stone. Y'all refuse the foundational principle, which was always supposed to point to Yahushua HaMashiach. He said, wait a minute. Y'all can't possibly believe in Moses if you don't believe in me.
Right.
And it's par for the course, because we're going to see. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hold up, Hebrews. Hold up, Hebrews, and anybody that's ever come to this congregation that goes back to listen to the weak and beggarly element. How could you listen to people that promote Jesus Christ? How could you? And on top of that, if they're not going to accept the yoke of the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, I don't care what purple robes they wear. I don't care what tzitzit they have. I don't care. Anything out they say out their mouth is not coming from Yah.
Amen.
It's just coming from parroting from a book. You are not going to be promoted if you claim to be in the know. If you claim to be a Hebrew and an Israelite, and you still promote the name Jesus Christ, you are a liar.
Amen.
You, because the scriptures say this, because in order to believe in that quote-unquote person as the Messiah, it says right here, and you know that's not his real name, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. This is the part where we got to come to, brothers. 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Kepha and Yehochanan and perceived that they were unlearned. What?
Yeah.
They was unlearned and ignorant. My brother talk about that fact. They wasn't scholars. They ain't going to yeshiva. They went to these old bootleg schools in the city. They ain't come flossing out no academy. Huh? What do you say? And hold up, but the thing about it, when you read the miseducation of the Negro, it's not just about public education, because when you think about, and I hate to big her up on this, but there was a celebrity who went to one of their schools and saw the level of education they got and went to schools in the inner city and saw that there were books that had been handed down from that school, the elite school, a public school in a wealthy area, 10, 15 years ago. So our education is 10 to 15 years behind theirs? This ain't nothing new. The miseducation of the Negro ain't nothing new. He said,
Now, when they saw the boldness of Kepha, and what kind of boldness did they have? And Yehukana, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Yahushua. See, as my brother brought out last night, what did you say? What? This is your, that you read out of Deuteronomy? That this is your wisdom, Yisrael? And what is that wisdom supposed to point us to? Yahushua HaMashiach. So as long, and I will big up Yahweh on this, my job, any job that I had, Yahweh blessed me with that job. I ain't had a skill set for that job, but I would pray to Yahweh and say, Abba, you know how to work Microsoft Word. You know how to work Excel. And whenever he did that and he blessed me with it and I presented it, first thing I say, they say, it's good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there are times I'm sitting there, because I ain't go to school for Excel and Word and all that type of stuff, but I'm sitting there, I would give it to him. I know you got it, Abba. And I say, Abba, in your infinite wisdom, come on, man. You gave the person how to make the program Excel. Give it to your son. And then he'd say, look at, or somebody might come in and say, well, what you working on? I'm trying to get this such and such and such. Oh, this is how you do this. This is how you do a pivot table. And hallelujah, because I didn't get the skill sets for any of the jobs I got. But Yahweh say, you know what, son? If I bless you with the job, I'm going to give you the information. May a tatwa ed olam. May a tatwa ed olam. And from there, he say, do this and do this. And I know anything. I presented something that had to go to the chief nursing officer the other day. The person I gave it to said, wow, this is excellent work. And I said, hallelujah. Because it ain't me. It ain't me. Abba will get an inspiration, not just here in this world, but in this in the secular world for us too. Hallelujah. Back to this now, y'all. 4:14. And behold, the men which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. They said, y'all just stand over there for a second. We got to talk about this. Saying, y'all, what are we going to do with these men? Saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed, a notable miracle. So now after Yahushua comes off the scene, he said, you know, I ain't going to show y'all no miracles. Y'all ain't deserving of these miracles. But see, now, the relationship and that friendship they had with Yahushua, because he said, I no longer call you brothers but friends. I'm going to give you all these gifts. So what I'm not going to do in the midst of the people, because I'm not a braggart. I ain't got to brag about nothing.
Right.
But I'm going to give y'all the power to do it in the midst of the people.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Ain't he a good friend? Huh? A good friend don't take care of himself and then take care of you. He take care of you and big you up. And that's what he did for his friends. It's a beautiful thing. So he said, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed, that's a miracle. Has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we can't deny it. We can't lie about this man. We might have lied on their teacher, but we ain't going to be able to lie on them. Acts 4:17. But that is spread no further. Listen to this now. This is where it comes in. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Mm-hmm. Hebrew Israelite, see, y'all following the example. And what my brother brought out last night, what our forefather said, not last night, yet last week, when he said, we have no king but Caesar, and that pointed to the fact that these Hebrews want to continue to hold on to JC the way they do. Who y'all working with now, brothers? Huh? Who y'all working with? Y'all the anti-Messiah. Y'all the anti-Christ. Hebrew Israelites that hold on to JC and the ones that have come through these, especially if you come through these walls, because you know if you came in work, talking that JC, we cut you. They got this thing on YouTube. It's a Netflix rather called Safe Models, Six Men. Boy, six men in here, you're going to get cut with that, so hold up. Two Jesuses? Huh? Oh, everybody stop. Whoa! You better not come up in here. You can go on YouTube with your JC. You can go on Instagram with your JC. You can do that all, but in here, you ain't JC-ing nothing.
Man.
You ain't. Sorry, whoever listened, don't mean to hurt your feelings, but truth is the truth. You know you can't come up in here with no JC. One, my brother, y'all L on you, boy. You see a different side of him. We had a conversation, me and my brother, about that.
you know, while we have the reverence and the watcher, the reverence of El and the watcher of Yah, the watcher, huh? Because they see what's going on. My sister tell me quick, you notice that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm paying attention. All right, pay attention. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. That's what they're there for. That's what they're there for. You got to come through a certain way. Because are you here for Yahweh or are you here for peace? Because if you're here for Yahweh, can't nobody separate. I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angel or principality, nothing can separate me from the, not even people I don't get along with in Beth Yahweh congregation. If the truth is here, that means the truth is here. And regardless of whether you personally get along with anybody, it should be irrelevant. Because as my brother brought out last night, Captain Paul had words about Paul, something in Peter's character that was a problem for Paul. And it says, Paul, when he saw him, when he's sitting there, hey, what's up, you know, Gentile? What's up, Gentile? How you feeling, mate? You believing in Yahushua, ain't you? Oh, hold up. Here come the Pharisees. I got to go. Here come the Pharisees. Says, I got to go. And even though they believed in Yahushua, that he didn't want to be seen with them because, remember, Peter had an issue with that. A couple of chapters later on, he says, look, I don't hang out with them Gentiles. I'll mess with them Romans. Peter was definitely a Hebrew Israelite that ain't want to mess with them people. But and as of so much, it took divine intervention for him to go and preach the word of Yahushua unto that Roman centurion. Read Acts 9 chapter. That's what that's about. I ain't going up in there. I don't mess with no swine either. That's what Peter said to the Lord. No, Lord, this ain't coming from you because you showing me something. I don't mess with them swine either. What I have called clean, that no man call unclean. I cleanse, what's his name? Cornelius. Yahushua said, I cleanse Cornelius. But the point I'm making is, yeah, with Shaul and with Peter, is they didn't see eye to eye when it came to certain things. They had beefs about Peter's character, but didn't stop them from doing the will of Yahushua in their own right. So nobody should separate you from coming into, if you believe that the truth comes from here, nothing should separate you from that. Nothing. Nobody is worthy of that. Anyway. All right. He says back to, I think, 419. Where did I leave off? Oh, yeah. No, 417. But 417. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, Yahushua. Not that name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Yahushua. Oh, whoa. Do we see that? 419. But Kepha and Yehuchanan answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Yah to hearken unto you more, whether it be right in the sight of Yah to hearken unto you more than unto Yah, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified Yah for that which was done. For the man was above 45 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was shown. So this man, people knew, you read, you know, the scripture, the chapter before, this was somebody who had been lame all their life. He about 3 years younger than me. All his life, he was lame. But they knew now of a surety that they cannot, and now the people are starting to believe because they're seeing this miracle, and they're out there, they're promoting Yahushua HaMashiach. 423. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to Yah with one accord and said, Master, thou art the mighty one, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, whom by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? So that is the vain thing, what they're teaching. But they're telling people not to use the name. That's the main thing that he was talking about. Why do the heathen reign? See now, so now Kepha and John had the full understanding of that scripture now, and they understood to kiss the Son lest he be angry. And they understood kiss the Son lest he be angry. Acts 25, whom by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the mighty one and his Moshiach. That's the same scripture they read. So now we see where it's coming from, so that should point people back to the source in Psalms, right? And he says, for of a truth against thy holy child, Yahushua, Hebrew Israelites that only believe in one half of the scriptures, and y'all don't even believe that because based on the words of Moshiach, he said, if you believe Moshe and the prophets, you would receive you. All right. For a truth against thy holy son, Yahushua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, who became friends in torturing and the punishment of Yahushua. That brought them a friendship. For a truth against thy holy child, Yahushua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, and still to this day. Because guess what, Hebrew Israelites? Y'all Catholics. Y'all in league with Rome. A lot of y'all Hebrew Israelites holding on to Jesus Christ. Y'all in league with Rome. That's Roman name. That's a Roman name. And y'all can't tell me nothing. I don't care how eloquent it sounds, my brother was talking like, y'all can't tell me nothing. I got six brothers in here that I know the Spirit of Yahweh is upon, and sisters in here that the Spirit of Yahweh is upon and will instruct me in the word and the worship of Yahweh. I don't need y'all. There's archives on Blog Talk that I can listen to, as my brother said last night, that I don't need to listen to none of y'all on you. Nothing y'all can say to me because y'all fakers, y'all frauds, y'all fakes. Y'all fleecing the flock. Y'all no different than these Pharisees and these Sadducees and chief priests. Don't y'all name yourself that? Y'all name yourself General this and General that, and chief priest this, and chief that. Y'all ain't no different. Back to 27. For of a truth against the holy child Yahushua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now the master, behold, their threatenings, and grant unto us. And he said, let me do that again. And now, master, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy son, Yahushua. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they spake the word of Yah with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection and the master Yahushua, and grace was upon all of them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands, of houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. I'm not saying we need to do this, just reading, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And that's all I have to read, family. Hallelujah. Grace, glory, and honor be unto Yahushua HaMashiach. May Yahweh continue to strengthen us and bless us and uphold us and hedge us up and challenge us, you know, because honestly, these things that happen, these challenges are for our benefit so that we can learn, that we stay in the book whenever these things come up, family. So unless any brothers have anything that they wish to add or to share, yes, Aki.
Antipas means like father.
Like father. Okay, so we see. So if Herod the Great was the one who issued the decree to kill all the sons, that means Herod, the son who was like his father, is now issuing the decree to kill the son. See what I'm saying? All right, family. Hallelujah. Cool, cool, family. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Brother Deyua, would you mind closing us out, Aki?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Our Redeemer, incoming King, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the Shabbat day, Father, and we thank you for revealing your word unto us through our brother Ariel last night, through our brother Ahabel this morning, and continue to open up our brother Ariel's mind again as he brings forth your word later on today. Fill him up and allow him to release and edify your word onto us, Father. Continue to build your sons and your daughters, Father, so that we can be with you.
Amen.
Father, protect everyone who's on their way. We give you praise this Shabbat day, Father.
Amen.
Protect them. Get them there safely, Father. Continue to grow them. Protect our children. Protect the elderly. Protect our kings, our families. Father, just... Your spirit just got me going, Father. You know, you reveal so much to us, Father. We read. And it's right there in front of us, Father. It's not until you pull the cover off our...
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're really making me understand how blind we really are to your word, how much revelation comes, how much we really need to depend on you, just as...
Hallelujah!
You put there for us, Father.
Amen.
It's written right in the word what the conspiracy is, Father. And when I read it, I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's right there. Pulled out of the box.
Amen.
I'm just thankful. I'm just grateful, Father, that you just continue. What is man that you
Hallelujah.
On your mind, you visit us, Father. And you just do so much for us, Father. And I'm just eternally grateful, Father. Just eternally grateful, Father. Continue to build up your sons and your daughters.
Amen.
Just continue, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Allow us, strengthen us, Father, when we get weak.
Yes.
To keep on and going, Father. Allow us to have a heart to help one another, Father.
Amen.
It's when we see things is getting rough, Father, when we know a brother is struggling.
Amen.
Pick him up. Pull him.
Amen.
Whatever it needs to be done, Father, because we have to make it. We have to make it to you, Father.
That's right.
In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Take off, let's
такава дерех. Усахви колко меха, ухтапта ми от алидейка. Вахаю летоста под бен айнейха. Ухтапта ми ел мизозот, бетейка, увиша алейка.
Know of a surety that thou seed will be a stranger in a land that is not there. And they shall enslave and oppress them for 400 years. In the fourth and in the last generation. Yes, you shall journey into captivity a second time in ships. Because you have rejected his instructions.